God is so good, ain't he? All the time. If you came today expecting our missionaries to be here, sorry. Due to the weather, they won't be here. So you got to listen to me. I know he's better looking than I am. I know that. But he's not as faithful to this church as I am. So you get to listen to me. Is that all right? I really got something I want to share with you. It's been on my heart for some time. I've preached part of it before, but I really want to talk to you because I think this is going to help somebody. And again, don't judge the anointing by the tone of my voice, because a lot of times we do that. Leon Brush's dad, Mr. Brush, told me one time that he seen a Pentecostal preacher's notes, and he said that there was a section of the sermon out from it. It said, had a little footnote that said, "Logic is weak. Yell louder." He was making fun of me because I was a Pentecostal. But man, we had some really good times. Leon was a Baptist. His dad was a Wesleyan. Barry and I went to Pentecostal churches. We had a lot of conversations. Can you imagine? I will tell you some of them someday, but some of them I'll never tell you because, wow, they were really good. Amen. Hebrews 4, verse 9. Hebrews 4, 9. Now I'm going to let you sit down. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." You may be seated. I got a lot more verses to read, but "there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." I don't know about you, but it seems like the last 2 weeks have been pretty long. My commute to work is longer than normal. My commute home is longer than normal. My walk across my driveway is longer than normal. I've spent some time out there. Snow shovels, your weapons are useless against it. You got to get a real shovel. I stopped by and talked to Randy yesterday. People was coming in. What were they looking for, Randy? Shovels and salt. And they didn't have any salt. It's hard to find salt right now. It's really hard to find salt right now. There's going to be a day that the world is going to look for the salt of the earth. And you know what? It's going to be really hard to find. Because ye are the salt of the earth. Man, that's good stuff, ain't it? I'm glad to know that I'm salt now. We're called to be salt and light. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." I want you to notice a couple things about Jesus, and then I want to talk to you about your life that this may apply. Matthew 11, 31 and 32 says, "And he said unto thee, come ye yourselves." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." It's very interesting that Jesus says, come. You know, I was waiting on y'all to read the verse, but I see the problem now. I was kind of pausing, hoping y'all just read ahead, but you were still in here. He said, "Come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. How many people in here are high strung and are go, go, go kind of people? Raise your hand. Look around, all the go-getters. You got a motor that runs all the time. It's hard to wind down. How many people have a hard time going to sleep because your mind is still going? You don't know how to shut that thing off. I mean, it's yours, and you still don't know how to control the thing. It just takes over, and you're like, I want to go to sleep. And you start counting. If I go to sleep right now, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I'm going to get 6 hours of sleep. How many people do that? How many people actually go 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? And you do that and you figure up how much sleep you're going to get. And you look over the clock and it's 2 hours later. And then you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you get anxious. You get anxious because you can't go to sleep. And you're anxious about going to sleep. And you tell yourself, hurry up. It doesn't work that way. But there remains a rest for the people. I'm not saying you're not the people of God if you can't go to sleep. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's a lot of things that we need to turn off when we put our hope in him. He said there's a rest for the people of God. Jesus said, come aside. He said, come aside and rest. A man challenged another man to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch, took several breaks during the day. At the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. I don't get it, he said. Every time I checked on you, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did. But what you didn't notice, said the winning woodsman, that as I was resting, I was sharpening my axe. This is how important rest in God is. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, there was debates going on about when the Sabbath was. Was the Sabbath Saturday or was the Sabbath Sunday? When was the day you should worship? I think that debate may still be going on today. So for a lot of years, people have debated when is the day of worship. And I'm not going to build a doctrine on it, and I'm not, but I know people that have. I worked with some people that were Seventh Day Adventist. And at sundown Friday, about Friday around 3 o'clock, they would take off, get home. They needed to be home because Saturday was the day of rest and the day of worship. I don't have a problem with that. Hope that don't disqualify me. I worship on Saturday too. I hope that don't disqualify me for being here, your Sunday pastor, because I worship on Saturday too. But I also worship on Friday. And I also worship on Thursday. And this whole debate is, and you go to scripture and you say, well, it was the first day of the week that they gathered to worship in the book of Acts. The first day of the week. And that's why we switched over. And the reason we switched over is because Jesus died on Friday and he rose on Sunday and it was the third day. And so we're excited because we're celebrating resurrection. I'm going to tell you right now, there's coming a day when they're not going to worship in that mountain or this mountain or Saturday or Sunday. But while I got a chance, I'm going to worship him all week long. But I'm glad that we get to come together today and worship him. How important is your worship? I'm debating. I stood back there and I was debating. Your worship should be a place of rest. Your worship should be a place where you come to get into the presence of God. And when you get into the presence of God, it's not about you anymore. It's about him. So your worship should be a place of rest. There have been times in my life when worship was not a place of rest. Can anybody say amen? I remember as a Pentecostal. I remember filling in on the drums. I remember as they shouted for 3 hours. And I sat and beat the drums. And I promise you, it was not worship to me. It was a test of endurance. After hours of Can't Nobody Do You Like Jesus, that's a straight beat, Ian, and it don't let up for a long time. And for hours, Ananias, 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 tell me what kind of man Jesus is. And I'm sitting like, just stop. Please stop, please stop. Please just stop, just stop. And it would keep going and keep going. And it became a test of endurance. And Ian, if worship ever becomes a test of endurance, let us know. We'll slow it down a minute. Everybody said, no, 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 no. Let's not slow it down. Let's get faster. Worship is a place of rest, and I'm going to prove it to you. He said, come yourselves apart. Get away from, listen to how it says this. For there were many coming and going. There was a lot of people coming in and coming out. Why did they come in? Because they had needs. They needed their needs to be met. And the truth is, if we're honest right now, there's a lot of things that are pulling on some of us right now. Can I talk to you a minute, Jason? It ain't easy to give your daughter away, is it? messes with your emotions. Did he cry? It takes something out. Oh, she's patting him. That is so sweet. Lydia just patted him. It's okay. And some of you young guys that are real tough right now sitting there, tell them, Mike, it ain't easy, is it? It ain't easy. Takes a lot out of you, a lot pulling on you. Not just your emotions, but your wallet. Amen. I don't know who made the rule. That the girl's dad, I don't know who made that rule. It's a goofy rule. I think everybody should pitch in. It pulls on you. A lot of things through the week pull on you. You go to work and it pulls on you. You get home and it pulls on you. And let me tell you, as a pastor, are we going to have church? We're going to have church. People start sending texts on Friday. Are we having church Sunday? I finally found this video and I love it. I love that video I sent in the minister's group. I love it. They're like, pastors, when there's going to be church on Sunday, he's like, I don't know. It could go either way. It could go either way. So I was like, I don't know. And there's all these decisions that have to be made. Then you got to get to work and you got to get back to work. And you got all of these family issues that are pulling. And Jesus says, come away. Get away from all that and rest. Find a place of rest. Because it's in that rest, Dustin, when we get alone with him, it's in that place of rest that we truly do sharpen our axe. It's in that place, that hidden place, when nobody else is around, when we're in his presence, that something begins to be restored in us that the world cannot restore. The world has one thing, and it's to pull it out of you. But I serve a Savior that says, come apart, get in my presence, get with me alone, and I will restore you. There's a place where you can drink of the water that you did not provide, but he provided for you. What a shepherd. Luke 5, 14, 15. And he charged them to tell no man, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto him. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him, of their infirmities. Let me tell you what Jesus does when all of this goes on. Watch him. Time after time after time, he gets away from the crowd. He would steal away. Eddie messed me up not too long ago. Eddie Tucker's my hero. Has been since I met, even before. He'd come to church and preach, and I was like, man, I like this guy. And he made statements that I liked. He said, sleep is a waste of time. And I have used that for years. Sleep's a waste of time. He'd say, could you imagine if you could just recharge yourself, how much more you'd get done? I was like, Yeah, sleep's a waste of time. If you don't have time to, if you only got 5 hours, sleep faster. And I don't know, a month or two ago, he was talking about how much he enjoyed sleep. I said, Eddie, don't do this to me. I said, you're the one that told me. Sleep's a waste of time. We got to recharge. We got to find a way to get recharged. And he was just talking the blessedness of sleep. And I was like, oh, man, my hero's crumbling before my eyes. But with experience comes wisdom. And this is what I'm learning. Just because you are asleep does not mean that God can't speak to you. Now, let me say that again. The ancients used to teach this, and I haven't quite got my nerve up to do it yet, and I don't know why. But Darren, the ancients used to teach that before you went to bed, you lay down and said, Lord, unto you I commit my spirit. I know Jesus said that like right before he died, so I haven't got the nerve to say it yet before I go to sleep, because I believe your body comes closer to death while you're asleep than any other time of the day. So I haven't got, but man, do we trust him? Even in rest, God can speak to you. How many people enjoyed the music today? Good job, man. Y'all did good. Did you know in that music there are things called rest? There's no music in the rest. Is there? How many rests? There's a whole, half, quarter, eighth. There's all kinds of different rest, time periods of rest. But it's when there's no music in the rest. Unless somebody hits a bad note, then you know something's wrong. Because it's time of rest and everybody else stops. Bam! You're like, oh. But there's no music in the rest. But without rest, there is no music. Because the rest is built into the music. So God wants to do something through you. And there are times when you just got to stop and let God be God in your life and rest. We have a hard time resting. If our body's not moving, our mind is. Man, if y'all missed Thomas' sermon Wednesday, I guess he did so good he couldn't make it today. He's still tired. Thomas, I hope you're listening. Man, he did a fantastic job, didn't he? Man, he did a really good job. There comes this point that in our lives, our mind is always going. And if we're not thinking about something, we're thinking about mistakes. You're thinking about what you did wrong, how you could have did it better, how you're going to do better tomorrow. Man, I really messed that up. How many preachers in here, by a show of hands, have ever preached a sermon and went home and said, I cannot believe I said that? How many of you went home and you didn't think that, but your wife said, I cannot believe you said that? But he taught us Wednesday that even in our mistakes, God is able to take care of us. But the devil loves condemnation. He loves to bring up, I'm going to do better, 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 I'm going to do better. There comes a point when you got to find rest. Oh man, I hope I help you today. Luke 21, 37 and 38 says, and in that day, time he was preaching in the temple, and at night, listen to this, he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Sam, he would preach it during the day, but he knew to rest at night. This is God manifested in flesh resting. He would get away. There's a whole sermon in this Mount of Olives, because we know olives and what all that represents, and there's a oil and there's a spirit, and we need to learn to rest in the spirit, not in what we have done. Mark 6, 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Again, back to our verse, rest a while. Take a rest for a while. But what are we talking about? Are we talking about sitting on the couch and doing nothing and that's rest? I'm here to tell you, if you're not in his presence, you're not getting rest. The Garden of Eden. I talked to Tracy about this a little bit last night when I talked to you. The Garden of Eden, I always picture the Garden of Eden as just a garden. But Eden was a place that God planted a garden in. Now we call it the Garden of Eden because it was in Eden. But don't think it was just a garden. There was more to it than that. So the more I read about Adam, the more I picture him as a gardener and I start picturing him as a priest. Because there was an entrance to the garden. We know that was eastward where the cherubim sets up his domain. We understand that Adam was put in that garden to keep it and to guard it and to watch over it. And he's put in that place. But now, I noticed something in Scripture. There's places where it's not called the Garden of Eden. It's called the Garden of God. He changes it from the Garden of Eden to the Garden of God, speaking about the same place. So if Eden was the place that the garden was, and God calls the Garden of God, that means that Eden must have been in the presence of God. Oh, that's better than you gave me credit for. Because here's where we find rest. We find rest in the presence of God. Because notice what happens. When sin entered, he was removed from the garden. It wasn't about the garden. It was about where the garden was. It was about being removed from the presence of God. So when Adam was moved out of the presence of God, that's what sin does. And when sin, do you know the story? That's when man started sweating. When the curse came, because he was removed out of the presence of God. That's where people began to earn it by the sweat of their brow. That's when work became struggle. That's when the rest was gone and it became a struggle. What am I telling you? Outside of the presence of God, there is struggle. In the presence of God, you will find rest that you cannot find anywhere else. So if something is pulling on you today, if you got some bad news or you got issues going on or your marriage is about to fall apart or your kids are driving you crazy, I want to challenge you, get in the presence of God and find rest. For your spirit. Thomas told us that he turned the news off. It's a good idea. Another thing, Robin, when I was a kid, they had news at 6 o'clock and 11. And I wasn't allowed to stay up till 11. So if you missed the 6 o'clock news, you just missed it. And then there was a paper in the morning, and you'd read the paper. If you missed the paper, you missed the news. But now, we know what's going on all around the world every moment. Let me tell you something. You're not designed to know all that. You are on brain overload right now. And you know what we do with it? We find people that like our values and we get with it and we fuss about it. And you know what it changes? Absolutely nothing. Psychologists say that time has changed after the year 2000. Time completely changed to us. We don't make lasting memories anymore. Anybody notice your short-term memory is not as good as it used to be? You can remember things when you were 5 years old and you can't remember what happened last week because our brains are on overload. It's hard to make a, and then said after 2020, it got even worse. You know why it got worse? Because we were stuck in houses and we couldn't hardly go nowhere unless we were essential. And we sat and we scrolled and we scrolled and we scrolled. And I'm telling you, I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it. There is a beast system and its goal is to rewire your mind. And you got to put some of that stuff down and get in God's presence, because that stuff will never get you rest. It may validate what you want to argue about. It may validate your feelings about the way things should go. But I'm telling you, there's no rest in that. There is no comfort in that. There is no place where you can, oh, but there is a hiding place in God when you get alone with him, that none of that matters, because in his presence is fullness of joy. Amen. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. By the way, Eden means pleasure. In that place there is pleasure. Watch this. This is so good. Genesis 2 and 8. The Lord planted a garden eastward in pleasure, in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Let me tell you where God wants man, in his presence. Let me tell you where God wants you, in his presence. When these worship leaders and in this group, when the praise team begins to sing, it's not entertainment. It's to get you a chance to enter into the presence of God. Why? So that you can find rest. Raise your hand if you got something going on in your life that's wearing you out. Raise your hand. See, look around. Look around. There's a lot going on. And dug in those places, when the devil begins to pull, we'll get tired and not know we're tired. I've told y'all this story. I'm going to tell you again. I knew the day that I got old. We were at the ocean. Every year, me and Jared would race. Every year, I beat him. Every year. Didn't have to run real hard at first. Time began to change. He got stronger. I got unstronger. And we lined up. I don't even want to know what he said. And we lined up and we took off. And as hard as I could go, there was not a chance. No, I do not like him. That was the day I stopped and I said, I'm getting old. I'm getting old. That's not a good feeling. Some of y'all don't realize it yet. Your mind tells you you can do things that your body cannot do. Ray Stewart used to tell me all the time, Darren, he'd say, the inside will wear out before the outside will. And I said, I'm not so sure. My inside said, go, go, go. My outside said, stop, stupid. There has to be a place to be restored. Where is that place? All right, here's my verses. I said all that to say this. Y'all ready? Ezekiel 44, 17 and 18. Are you there? Ezekiel 44. Did I give you the wrong verses? I want y'all to see this. Yeah, here we go. Watch this. This is so cool. This will answer some questions for you, by the way. It shall come to pass when they enter in at the gates of the what? Inner court. When you enter the inner court, what are you getting closer to? The presence of God. He said, when you come in closer to my presence, watch what he said. You shall be clothed with linen garments. Watch this. No wool shall come upon them whiles they minister in the gate of the inner court and within. He said, when you come in here, you wear linen. We know what linen represents, right? Purity, holiness, right? He said, when you come in here, this is what you wear, not wool. Now, the Bible tells us that we are sheep. What kind of covering do sheep have? Wool. So he says, don't bring your covering in here. He said, Man, I hope you get this because you've been struggling because you've been trying to accomplish it on your own. You've been trying to do it with what you got. He's saying, don't bring what you got into my presence. He said, I don't want no wool on you when you come in here. You put on the garment that I have prepared for you when you come in my presence. Oh, it gets better. Next verse. And they shall have linen bonnets upon their head and shall have linen breeches upon their loins, and they shall not gird themselves with anything that I don't have it on today. He said, this is so awesome. He said, when you come in here, he said, don't you wear anything. Don't you bring anything that causes you to sweat. What's he telling us? He said, when you get in my presence, this is where I do the work. Don't come in here showing me how awesome you are in yourself. This ain't about you when you get in my presence. It's about me. God says, I want to restore you. It's okay, God, I got this. You know what you do? You sweat. As a matter of fact, sometimes when you're, people say, hey, man, don't sweat it. You ever heard that expression? Hey, man, don't sweat it. You know what's easy to say that when you're not going through it? Hey, Johnny, don't sweat it, man. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. But you know what God is saying right here? Don't sweat it. When you come in my presence, don't sweat it. Watch this, Leviticus 19, 19. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to let you go home. Wherever you got to go, shovel. Watch this. You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let any cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and wool come upon thee? You know what we've done? We've mixed the garment. And we let God handle some of it, and then we try to handle the rest of it. He said, don't come in here with that garment on where some of it's yours and some of it's mine. It's all mine. Because when you come in my presence, don't come in. He said, I would that you were hot or you were cold. Because if you're lukewarm, if you got it mixed together, he said, I'm going to spew you out. He said, don't come in here wearing linen and wool. Don't even come in here with your covering. Put my covering on you when you come into my presence, because in my presence there is fullness of joy. Here's where you'll find rest. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I may not be preaching to everybody, but I'm preaching to somebody because you're tired. Come on here. I don't want you to walk out of here the same way you walked in. As a matter of fact, in those next verses, he says, when you go out there in the outer court, he said, you leave those linen garments in here. He said, when you go out there amongst the people, he said, leave them in here. Why? Why would he do that? Because there must be a place in your life where you separate what's out there and what's in here. How do you do that? You got to stop and get in God's presence. Preacher, my marriage is falling apart. What are you going to do about it? Well, I talked about counseling, but they don't want to go to counseling. Listen to this. We're going to try to work it out. Let me tell you something about marriage. It was instituted by God Almighty. And if anybody knows how to fix your marriage, he knows how to fix it. And let me tell you where you need to get. More than any place on earth is in his presence. Man, my job's not working out too good. Finances ain't too good. Let me tell you who knows how to fix them. He does. You're trying to work it out. And you're trying to make the wool happen. And he's saying, just take the linen. I've already took care of it. We talk about the Sabbath. You know why there's a Sabbath? Because God rested on the seventh day. He stopped his work. You know why we rest in Jesus? Because he cried on the cross, it is finished. You know, it's so difficult. It is so difficult. When you pray for people and you want to see God move in their life and you're struggling to see and you get with them and you talk to them and things seem like they're way worse than they've ever been before. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, man, it's worse. It's worse. What do I need to do? What do I need to say? I'm telling you what I need to do. I need to get in God's presence. So when I'm around that person, I don't have to say anything. There's something illuminating off of me, and the Spirit begins to move because I've been in the rest of God. And I promise you this, every time Jesus went away to rest, he came back and did something awesome. I don't have time to prove it to you. But on the boat, Jesus was asleep. Some of those ancients that teach us to say, said every time Jesus laid down, he said, Father, into your hands commit my spirit. I don't know if he did or not, but I know one thing. Every time he rested, every time he got out there by himself and they followed him, something awesome happened. We're trying to make it happen without getting in the place of rest. As a matter of fact, our worship becomes a performance and not a place of rest. And we want you to worship. Can I ask you a personal question in front of everybody? Personal in front of everybody. Do you ever work so hard on a song? And even in practice, it's anointed. You're like, we sing this, they are going to go crazy. Like, people are going to be running around the church. They may even run into each other. Backflips up the aisle. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And you play the song, and everybody goes, Has that ever happened? Does it ever aggravate you? Take you back to old school church. How you feeling? Are you feeling good? You ever been in an old school church to where when the service was good and you wasn't, they didn't look at you and get aggravated. They looked at you and they went. And then some of them would go like this. Come on, anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been there? You didn't have the option. We're nice to y'all. We give you the option. It's up to you. You want to worship? You didn't have the option back there. I told y'all this before. I'm going to tell you before we leave today. Mike got it more than anybody I'd ever seen in my life. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? I'd be standing beside Mike in worship. See when I'm coming? I knew they weren't coming for me. Tell me if I'm wrong, Mike. I've seen this on multiple occasions. Right here. Come on, get up. Come on. Right here. Right here. Am I right? And they grab Mike by the nape of the neck. I don't know why I'm doing chill out. I go get Mike. He probably needs it.